podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of the Nina Kaiser Show. I'm back with another episode discussing whatever we have to discuss on this pod. And I'm not going to give too much away, my intro, but whatever.
I've just totally forgotten the agenda. Yeah.
I have not forgotten the agenda. For one lad now, can't fucking keep his hair calls shut. So that peasant's on. And Motley over there, that's Cam Grinch.
I just love to start. Welcome to the Nina Kaiser Show, where Nina Kaiser Show, we got an episode and we're going to talk about an episode.
just
want to start. I'm trying to give away those
within 20 seconds of slapping it down.
I set myself up for Game of Thrones. All right, you don't give any spoilers away. Certainly not your intros. All right. But anyway, you two, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
No worries.
It's a disgrace. I already want to cancel this pod. 3 seconds in. Okay, guys, thank you so much for bearing with me. I know a lot of people have been messaging me saying, when are you going to do another show, blah, yada, yada, yada. So here we are. And myself, Gags, and Cambridge are just going to discuss, you know, the ongoings of off-season, what's been going on or what's not been going on. So, guys, the first thing that I want to discuss is we've been linked to a fair few players and, you know, it looked so promising to begin with and then it dies down and then the intensity builds up. But obviously, these players that we're looking at, they are major requirements, in my opinion, for Liverpool evolving and progressing for next season, especially with Champions League football, should we make the qualifier, or, you know, fingers crossed. But if it doesn't happen, I mean, look at our players. Do you think they're kind of good enough? So, you know, your likes of your Lovren, because obviously we're looking at Van Dijk, your left-back situation. So, Gags, I'm going to come to you first. I mean, could we still be okay with those players or absolutely fucking not, in your opinion?
Oh, my God. I think we have to kind of get another left back in. And I know we're linked to someone like Robertson, who may not even go straight into the first team and, you know, may take a couple of months to get into the first team. So that means that's the only one we've really been linked with since Sessegnon. So, and even he was really, really young. So again, he would probably have to wait for a little while. So that means we are pretty much stuck. Or resigned to having James Milner, because Moreno's having bids on him, so he looks like he's going to end up going at the end of the window. So we're going to be resigned to starting with Milner now. You know, there's been reports, obviously, this season he's the fittest man alive, apparently, and stuff like that, and whatever, you know, in the Echo and the usual big up. Fair enough, he's really, really fit, but is he good at left back? And he's okay, but if you had a choice, would you really want to play him there? And you wouldn't. You want a left back. I think the balance, I've spoke about it on UP so much, the right-footed left-back, the passes down the line, they end up curling out because he's not, you know, he's playing it with the instep, so they're curling away from play rather than into play. So that all those things, are so lacks balance. He was good to start the season, but we saw the deficiencies at the end. We're always attacked down that side. So, sorry. I just think we should really, really focus on this position. And if we are haggling again over prices, we really need to just pay the money for these type of players. They're not going to be too expensive. Someone like Robertson's not going to be very, very expensive. So it's pain, just more weight and more pain. We should just get one of these players in. And after, if you listen to the Gags Tennis Show, the GTS that I did on Robertson, you'd be a little bit excited, I think. And loads of people have tweeted me saying, They're more for the signing now than they were against it before.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, go and have a listen and see what you think. But we do need a left back. We need some balance in the side.
There'd be no plugging of your Z-rated show on my show. Okay, actually, I listened to that pod. It was very good, and there was great insight. I loved the two guys that you had on as well, answered all the questions. We were very honest, you know, gave us his strengths and weaknesses. And like you said, he's a young guy. You know, it will take him some time, and it does look like Moreno's off. But, guys, you know, you made some really interesting points there about, you know, Milner's fitness and stuff, and that he is a model professional. But like you, I echo those thoughts as well, that he takes too long. He's wrong-footed for a start, so therefore he takes longer. He might take, say, 3 seconds longer, which in the game is crucial, and it can be, you know, devastating, you know, certainly when you've got like a pacey winger on you. You know, it's game, set, and match. Tennis is on, fucking hell. What is wrong with me with all these analogies? But, you know, you are literally screwed, and those are those defining moments that you actually need a specialised left-back. So I completely agree. I mean, obviously right now we are just focusing on the left-back situation, but Cam, your thoughts?
Gags makes some really good points there, and I do very much agree. Milner has done well for us. He hasn't done that badly.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to remember, Milner doesn't ask to play at left-back. Jurgen Klopp plays him at left back.
Absolutely.
And Jurgen Klopp was positioning him there last summer during the American tour. Milner came out and said that. So let's not be overcritical of Milner per se for playing left back, but as a player at left back, he's not ideal. He's not gonna progress us. He's not gonna make us a more potent attacking force. We've seen how limited he is in that position, and what you'll find is he doesn't overlap enough when he's attacking. He doesn't go on the outside, he doesn't make the run in behind, because we're going to have a front three who want to get into the box. Our two wide players don't really go wide per se, they'll cut in more. If you look at Mane last season, he was coming in more. You look at Phil, how often was he going, taking the man on, whipping a cross in? He wasn't. I don't think Salah's going to do the same. I think Salah's going to be more on the right, from what my understanding is. He'll be cut because he's stronger on his left foot and he wants to come in and shoot. And I think, obviously, you put Mane on the other side, he'll be looking to cut in as well. So you need a left back who's going to go on the outside. And from listening to the GTS show and listening to the two guys on there, they were really positive about his great strength. Robertson was putting that really fast ball in across the box. That was the big thing I took out of it. They did point out he wasn't the greatest defensively.
Yep.
But again, if Klopp is identifying this person as somebody he wants, there's a reason. And that reason must be he feels he can work with this guy. He's progressed up from the Scottish Premiership to Hull. He's had a season at Hull.
From the Scottish Third Division, I think.
Sorry, Third Division. Yeah, to the Premiership, up. Sorry. Yeah.
Alternative facts.
I missed one out. Wasn't it alternative?
Came from the Barca Youth. Came from the Barca Youth Academy.
Did you not know that?
La Masia.
Yeah. You're graduating from La Masia.
And that's based in Scotland.
Oh dear.
Sorry, Cam.
Sorry, can we go back to taking the piss out and in?
Not yeah, Cam. I just wanted to say one thing you said on the point there about Robertson. The thing is, how much do we actually get attacked defending wise? How much? It's whether he's switched on when we are, right? And he's got the pace, recovery pace, like Moreno actually, which is what I was concerned about. Is he another Moreno? But what I like about him is, and I've scouted him a little bit on Y Scout, he does dribble at players as well. He's different to Moreno in that way. So basically, we have a lot of the ball. We want players that are going to attack. He's more natural.
And I think the reason why people attacked Milner a lot was because they knew he didn't have the legs.
He was easy to go past, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He wasn't, he didn't go beaten very often, but when he did, he looked so immobile.
Was it Traore from Middlesbrough, somebody that, I just remember that game where he just had him on toast.
Milner's one of the most beaten defenders, I think, especially in our team. He's the most beaten, I think, player.
Right.
Double what Moreno was.
Alternative fact.
Yeah, it was. He was beaten a lot. The thing is, though, Cam, that this isn't let's just make it clear. This isn't Milner's fault.
His fault? Like, no, it's not.
We are not bashing Milner. He's not a fucking left back. Let's just get this clear before people say, oh, you're bashing. No, actually, hats off to Milner for taking a hit for the team and playing there all season when it's not his preferred role. If there's anyone who needs a stick, if you're going to moan about Milner playing a left back, stop moaning about Milner. Start moaning about Klopp. I'm not saying do that, but what I'm trying to say here is that don't blame the player here.
He's been asked to play somewhere and he's played it and he's kind of stayed injury free and he's played every single game and done it probably to the best of his ability that he potentially could. Because at the beginning of the season, we were all thinking, oh my God, he's actually quite good there. Mm. And then the legs, you know, caught up.
The legs went.
Yeah, he was targeted, but let's just make this clear that we hats off to him.
Yes.
You know, well tried, but you're not a fucking left back. That's the problem.
We're going to be playing Champions League, hopefully, if we get through the two games, which I'm sure we will. And we're going to be playing against some better players than possibly that Milner's faced last season in the Premier League.
Mm.
What are they going to do to him? That's the worry. If we want to progress, our two focuses next season, for me, has to be Champions League and the league. We want to be challenging for the league title and getting as far as we can in the Champions League. We have a weakness at left back. We have a weakness at left centre back. It's an area that will be targeted. And those two areas are the paramount that we have to get better quality players in there. Because we defend with a high line. We don't defend deep. We don't get attacked so much because we do have more of the ball. But when we do get attacked and we have at the moment Lovren and Milner there, they make mistakes and we need to eliminate those mistakes. And those mistakes were the ones that were leading to goals against us. Better players in those two positions will make us a better team.
Okay, well, that kind of transitions us over nicely to our next defender. Obviously, we've been linked to Van Dijk. Will he, won't he, will he, won't he? I feel like I read his name or say his name more than anything ever. Guys, obviously, we all want it. I don't need to say anything here. I know we all want it. We all know what a quality defender he is and just what he would bring to our defence. So, Gags, I'll come to you first on this one again. If we don't get Van Dijk, which would be a huge devastating blow, in my humble opinion, Lovren.
No. This window has to have a centre-back. If it's not Van Dijk, they have the whole summer. It's only July the 11th. Right? It's just July the 11th. If he's not going to sign, they must be working. They must work on another defender right now. Don't waste time. Don't do that again. What we always do, leave it to the last minute or what it does. It's not, sorry. Shouldn't say that. What we always do. No proof in what we're doing. No one knows. I don't care what anyone says, what info anyone gets. No one knows exactly 100% what everyone's doing at the club. Okay, every single person that works for the club, you're telling me you know what they're doing. Not a chance. So we don't know what Liverpool are doing, but we can't be making bids in the last week. We just can't. We've got to sign people in the next month or so. They've got to get acclimatized with Klopp, the way Klopp plays football as well. He said it last year. We run so much more than everybody else. We sprint more than everybody else. There's proofs out there. We've tweeted about them. It's been under pressure. These players need to get that fitness going. It's not going to be easy. And if we don't, and our defense, it's the single most important part of the club this summer to be upgraded. When we say left back, the center back is humongous. It's everything. We cannot. Lucas Leiva hasn't left the club because he's probably still hanging on to wait whether we sign a centre back or not. Because he's the one who's in the background waiting as fifth, sixth choice or whatever it is. And we get so many injuries, he ends up playing there. No. Lucas Leiva should never play centre back ever again. I accept Lovren will because I want him to be the third choice. That's fine.
Yeah.
No problem with me. He just shouldn't be number one choice. or two. That should be Matip, number two. So we need to go and buy a first choice defender, a centre back, quality centre back. That's going to help us progress this side. And, you know, just, it's got to be number one priority. And it seems like it is. The Van Dijk stuff that's happened, it's unfortunate. I really just hope that there's a plan. I really do, because shit will hit the fan if there's no plan. Wow. This is good.
And Cam, I mean, you kind of touched on something before, Champions League football. And, you know, you were a little worried about Milner, you know, being exposed against, you know, better calibre of players and pace. I mean, Lovren in the Champions League, I mean, we've seen it once. You know, under his first season with Brendan Rodgers, obviously we had Champions League football when he joined Liverpool. And it kind of frightens you. Well, it should. I mean, I'm assuming it does frighten you, the fact that, you know, we will be playing these teams and we'll have that same defence that, you know, could crumble to the likes of Bournemouth.
Yeah, on my birthday.
I'm so, so sorry.
That's okay. Thanks for the reminder, Nin. But yeah, it is a worry. Lovren is a good third choice.
Yes.
And he's great to have on the bench, being angry, whatever he wants to be, because he thinks he should be on the pitch, and that's good. You want players on the bench who are angry at not being on the pitch.
Yep.
Because then when they come on, hopefully that will make them a better player. Lovren has good points. He has bad points. His bad points are when he's exposed one-on-one. He's very, very poor as a defender. He quite simply cannot defend on those situations. As we do not play with a DM or two DMs protecting, which is what he got at Southampton, because teams would attack Southampton more. So that's why they had a defensive shield. Whereas because teams don't attack us so much, we will hopefully be doing the attacking. Our defenders are exposed more. We can't have Lovren there. He will get ripped to shreds. I mean, I just go back to the Middlesbrough game. How was that not a penalty when it was 0-0? Can you imagine if that had gone in, the nerves that would have gone round, and we might not have then gotten to the Champions League because of a Lovren mistake again? How many goals did we concede last season that were down to Lovren mistakes? Or part of, you know, he was part of the mistake because he missed the first ball or he missed the second ball. And he's consistent in those mistakes. He's not, oh, I say consistent, maybe not so consistent. He's cut a few of them out, but he still keeps making them. And that's the worry. You need quality. You want to progress as a team. You're always looking to improve players in whatever position that may be. If we can get a better player in than Phil Coutinho, and Phil Coutinho goes, get the better player in. If we get Neymar, Messi in for Phil Coutinho, I'll take that all day long. I don't care. Messi's a better player than Phil Coutinho. We're improving. And that's what you want to do. It applies to every single position on the park. So Lovren, yeah, great third choice. Not good enough to be first choice if we want to progress as a team and try and win trophies. Let's be honest, we need to win trophies as well, don't we? It'd be great to win the FA Cup or League Cup next season.
No, some excellent points by both of you as well. And I think another thing that kind of concerns me a little, you made both, you know, really good points, the fact that, you know, he's a great third choice. He's got some real good, strong qualities. And one of the things that really worries me about him is actually his positional awareness. I always feel like he's ball watching, or he's not picking up his man, or he's on the wrong side of his man, or, you know, he'll do something, you know, like have a bit of a brain fart moment. I mean, and then he'll have a great game, like against Everton, you know, where he kept Lukaku in his pocket. Sorry, got to go there. Had to remind everyone about that. You know, it was only fitting given the fact that he's joined the biggest club in the world, apparently. Bless him. Mind you, when you leave Everton, anything seems big. But yeah, I do share your concerns with Lovren. In particular, I think also as well, you know, there's a bit of a thing with having a and I feel as well, if you have a settled back two settled centre backs, it kind of takes a little bit of pressure off your full backs as well, in a sense, because, you know, that area is covered. It takes pressure off your midfielders, because if Emre Can, we assume, might be playing the deepest, or Henderson, it takes pressure off them because they don't have to drop in as deep as much as what they would have to, because you've got two very, very able centre-backs who have got that position filled, and all of those midfielders then sort of step into defences when obviously there's more bodies and obviously they need help, or there's a big gaping hole that needs to be covered, which I find happens an awful lot. I mean, I can't even think of who was the defence against Leicester. Gags, when Vardy scored that goal and the ball just literally went through our midfield. It just went through the middle of the park. There was no one.
Which one? Which Vardy goal? He's scored a few, hasn't he, against us now?
Oh, somebody.
It would have been Leicester.
The volley one. The amazing.
It was the first goal that they scored, and our midfield was nowhere.
Oh, this season, I've relegated that game into some other stratosphere. It was such a terrible game that I don't even remember the goals. But yeah, it happened a lot anyway during the season. The midfield just, you know, people can walk through it sometimes. And the defence as well. We can be a shambles at times, but it's the directness of the teams that do that. There's a certain way when we can't press. If people play in that, in a specific style, they can walk through the side. So we probably need to just become a bit stronger in those areas. I think, you know, getting a really good defender, a really, really good one, could complement the midfield we've got right now. It really could.
Very much. The system is about defending as a team, defending as a unit, rather than relying on individuals as well. Because we don't concede a lot of chances, do we?
No, we don't.
Compared to other teams.
And another thing to note as well is, you know, I think Lovren, with all due respect, I think he knows if he's fit, he's playing, because there's no other competition. Does that make sense? So no matter how bad he plays, he will always get played because it's either Lucas or Clavan. You know, obviously Sako looks like he's going. And I think if somebody like Van Dijk does come in, or, you know, a second choice defender, or, you know, another defender that is actually very good and who is going to, you know, challenge, who's going to, you know, force Lovren to the bench, it could actually have a really positive effect on Lovren, because it might up his game. Because I feel like some of our players in certain positions have been so complacent over the years. And Mignolet was a prime example of that.
Yeah, Mignolet is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, I think that. And now, guys, we're going to move on to midfield. Of course, another player that we've been talked and linked up to is all the players that, you know, we're kind of window shopping at the moment. Naby Keita. You know, so many people are really excited about him. So many people want him. There's been various podcasts, articles, you know, just a big fiasco. Some people saying he'll never come to Liverpool, but he sort of expressed that he will. People are already sort of figuring out their dream team when he comes, should he come. But Leipzig don't really look like they want to sell him, or are not in a position to sell him. They don't need to sell him. So that's going to be really interesting. I'm quite intrigued about that one. I hope, again, that's another one we pull through. Gads, your thoughts on that one? I mean, the midfield of I don't know what Klopp's going to play. Is he going to play a diamond, or is he going to play three? But for you, who do you think moves out for Naby Keita?
I've got
What formation do you think it would be?
To be honest, I've no idea, because the manager has been in the press himself saying he's got so many options at the moment that he's not deciding on what he wants to do. I think that's the best way. I think he should fit the team to the opposition and beat that opposition. Everything should be focused on beating the opposition. And whether that means he sticks to his 4-3-3 or goes to back to the 4-2-3-1 that did well the year before they got us to the final of the Europa League Cup. Europa League final. And then, or if he does the diamond, which in the last two games just spanked teams with Coutinho in the middle, he's got options. And I think Naby Keita, we don't have anyone like that at the club. People are saying that he plays like, Kante. No. Sorry, absolutely nothing like him. Isn't he a DM? No, he's not
a close. DM.
He is versatile, all action. He just can do anything, this guy. He's building up a defensive side. Again, I've been watching a lot of him on Y Scout, but he can dribble, he can run, you know, running with the balls, no problem at all. Eye for a pass, he can split defenses up. Engine on him, no problem in tackling, no problem with pressing. He can score. He can assist. He can do a lot with the ball and off it as well. So he's pretty much an all-rounder. I'm not saying he's the best thing ever. I'm just saying he can do a lot of these things very, very well. So the price tag, I would pay it. I know people are saying it's crazy, but the way football inflation is, guys, just take what you think of real money out of it. It's not real money. It is real money, but Premier League and Sky have changed everything, right? So what used to be millions back in the day when Rio Ferdinand was bought for 30 odd million or 28 million, whatever it was, by United, that's 94 million in this day and age in football inflation. So when you say spending 75 or 70 million on Van Dijk, for example, if you go back and apply it, that TPI model, that transfer price index that Paul Tompkins does, go and check it out, just Google it. It'll be more. That's going to be like 20 million odd or 24 million odd or something in that compared to that time. So if you try and do a proper comparison, that's how you do it in terms of inflation. So 70 odd million, 60 odd million is just 30 million back in those days. You know, I would pay, honestly, I would pay it. I really would pay it for him. And your question is pretty impossible, I reckon, to answer in terms of what would I do? I'd change it up for a different opposition. And also, then I'd change it up if it's Champions League or Premier League.
Yes.
And I'd rotate. I'd 100% rotate. So, but if I had a first team, which I love to talk about, Naby Keita would be in it. 100%.
Nice.
Lallana would probably drop out.
Okay. Well, Cam, I'm going to come to you. Obviously, Gags just touched on,
everything.
the fact that, you know, Keita can play a whole array of like diverse roles, or, you know, he can do so many things so well, which means that whatever kind of formation Jurgen Klopp plays, he would, you know, slot in and, you know, he would do a very, very good job.
Hmm.
I'm going to come to you with a slightly different question. It's about what Gag said about Klopp. He said that, you know, he's excited to play a lot of different formations. That was something that really, really frustrated, you know, especially when we had some poor results. I recall us being all frustrated that, like, why don't he change up the system? Why don't he change up the formation? Why don't he rotate players? If he does get Keita, he's in that position to actually give some of his midfielders a rest. And, you know, that's quite exciting for next season. Even if, you know, forget Keita for a side, but the fact that he's saying I can play, you know, a diverse range of systems and formations, surely that is music to your ears. Because I think Klopp has almost been like stuck. He's kind of been stuck in his way a little.
Yeah, he has, hasn't he? Apart from the last two games last season, he was very much 4-3-3 all season.
Yeah.
And teams have tossed us out for a while, haven't they? Especially, obviously, I mean, we've touched on it a million times, January and February. So to be able to... He has to rotate. If we get Keita in and we lose Lucas, which, you know, we may or may not, we've got possibly seven midfielders there if Emre Can does not leave, because the rumours have started about Can again today, about Juve coming in with bids for him. So if we have a full complement of seven midfielders, then you've got to use those seven midfielders accordingly for the League Cup, the FA Cup and Champions League. And then that gives you variety in the way you play. So you've got to use different formations. And sometimes you have to change the formation because a certain formation will suit a player better.
Mm-hmm.
He might. Yeah. It's like Adam Lallana now. We don't ever want to see him in a front three again. When Phil was injured, he had to go back in the front three. He couldn't play it. It's not his position. So you've got to play the players in the position that suits them best, in a formation that suits them and the team best. So if that means Phil's going to drop back into midfield, which that's who I'm including in one of the seven, then great. Play him in the midfield, whether that be as part of the 4-3-3 or, as you say, the 4-4-2 with the diamond, then that's what you have to do. Again, it's got to be about what the opposition is playing as well, what they tend to do, and exploiting whatever they're going to throw at you. So it's got to be horses for courses. And he's got to rotate this year. We can't be going through another January, February where the team looks dead on their feet They're devoid of ideas, devoid of energy, and just not performing. That cost us massively. Cost us a league title challenge. And this year, or next season, as such, this season coming, I expect us to be challenging for the title if we get the likes of Keita in, if we get the likes of Van Dijk in. We have to be. You don't spend £140 million on players and then not challenge for the title. We're not there to finish sixth like other teams now if we spend that type of money.
True, true. Well, anyway, it looks like we kind of want all the players that we're linked to. And I think we can all agree that the players that we are being linked to are certainly of a higher calibre. And I think that's, you know, largely down to, obviously, Jurgen Klopp. I think he does have that major pulling factor. It's evident, you know, players do want to come to him. It's just whether we can get these deals over the line. So, guys, I'm going to hit you with a curveball. And Cam, I'm going to start with you first. We've been linked to, you know, certainly two very, very good footballers, you know, and one young, promising one. So I've got a curveball for you. If obviously we want them all in an ideal world, but if we only got one deal over the line, just one, which player do you think is the most crucial, or which position is the most crucial that we need to strengthen?
Well, not the midfield. So that counts out Keita.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a straight choice then between the left back and the centre back.
Yeah.
And I would want the centre back, and then I'd want Van Dijk, because I think Van Dijk would help whoever we played then at left back. And I would probably personally then look at throwing Joe Gomez in at left back at some point, to play alongside Van Dijk, watch Van Dijk, learn off Van Dijk. And then we've got another good centre-back coming through at some point, because he's getting first-team action and seeing it as well. So Van Dijk for me.
Okay, so Cam Branch has voted. Keita, 0 points. Robertson, 1 point. Van Dijk, 12 points. This is my Eurovision. Really, really bad. Gax, I'm going to come to you.
Van Dijk is the window.
Yeah.
If they didn't even sign anyone else, Van Dijk was the window. They need to go and buy a centre-back. If not Van Dijk, then someone else. Centre-back is the... But, I mean, specifically, Van Dijk, they've got to go and get him. They really have to try and buy Virgil van Dijk, because it'll just change the team up. There's so much he'll bring to this side. He was the number one target from the start. You know, that was the player we were all going after. And it looks like the Klopp wanted as priority number one. So has to stay that way. There's no other choice for me. I'd happily not buy a left back or a midfielder if it meant we got Van Dijk in. Honestly, if I get to choose just a one, it's Van Dijk.
I think it's a full house, because I pretty much echo that as well. I thought last year what we kept whinging about was the defence. And obviously, you know, you can't keep expecting your strikers to score like three goals, you know, every game. It's not sustainable. You know, you can't always beat teams 6-1, or, you know, if you concede four, you can't expect your team, your attackers to score five. I think it's really unfair. So I definitely agree with that. I think the defence has been a massive concern. It's been a concern for years. Let's be honest. It is something that we have been screaming about for years. And I think if we sort out that defence, it takes massive pressure off our fullbacks, like Cam said. It takes massive pressure off our midfielders. It takes massive pressure off our goalkeeper. It's just one of those positions that heals a lot of the squad, in my opinion.
For us right now, it's the most important position.
Yeah.
It's crucial. I'd
have absolutely echo that. So, yeah, for me, Emma Van Dijk is a must, and we need to. I mean, ideally, I think we want them all. You know, we've spoke about them. We know what they'll bring and what they're all about. But, yeah, if there's one, I'm with you guys. It is Van Dijk. That's the one that I really, really, really do want. And I hope we get it over the line. Right. Okay. So we've discussed a little curveball there. And now I'm going to move on to our next topic. And obviously, we're all on Twitter. we all have accounts. We follow accounts. We see things we tweeted. We all work on AI. There's been a lot of content about FSG lately, you know, and just our fan base in general is getting all pent up about the lack of transfers and getting frustrated. I see this so much on my timeline. You know, sometimes things get retweeted and there's a lot of fume and angst at FSG. And there's been a lot of talk. And obviously us three, we did Desi together, right? And we all said, we've always been quite, you know, forgiving of FSG. You know, when they've been wrong, we've said it. But we've always said, just give them time. And we said this window is make or break for them. They have to aid Jurgen Klopp. Now, they bought in Klopp. We know they bought in Klopp because he was the right man that they wanted from day one. Got him in because he's going to attract the players. He's done that. He's made people like Van Dijk. He has turned their heads away from Chelsea, away from Manchester City. And, you know, he's specifically expressed a desire to come and play for Liverpool. Same with players like Naby Keita. You know, I know no one's come in for him yet, but he's gone all out and he wants to play under Jurgen Klopp, et cetera, et cetera. Salah, we've got him. Excellent. And it looks like, you know, it looks like we've been trying to throw some money at these teams. We're trying to get bids going. We were putting a bid for Mbappe, but there's still a lot of talk about FSG and a lot of negative talk about FSG. And for some reason, people seem to blame FSG for, you know, the lack of these transfers. So, Gags, I'm going to come to you. Where do you sit with FSG right now? Because for me, and you know, I'm not over the top on Twitter as everyone knows. I hardly tweet. I'm really, really busy recently. I will get back to my old self, watching everything on social media. But I still feel like there's a lot of people that put a lot of blame on FSG. So I want to get your thoughts. How do you feel about them at the moment?
Yeah, I need to believe. I think I'm not a believer at the moment. I don't, I think I've gotten myself into a lot of trouble over the last few weeks or the last month or so in how candid I've been really about it all, off the pitch. I think they've been really good. They saved us and all that, but they saved us. You know, how long we need to move on. We need to go to the next step, next level. So how I feel about them is, I'm unsure really what's going on. And, until they don't prove it by, obviously, the end of this summer window, whether they can actually go and get their first choice players, I don't know whether I'll be convinced or not. So, for me, FSG, as in the main guy at the top, John Henry and that, might actually be a good guy. I don't actually think he's involved enough. And this is the contentious point that myself and Richie and Brundish had an argument about, you know. He hires people to do it, but are they the right people? Are they football people? Have they got the right people ever? And I think Klopp was the big turnaround, you know, in the right direction. So that's their out, I think. Their big out is that they got Jurgen Klopp. And that's a massive, massive plus. Okay, so... But he needs more. He can't do it on his own, right? There's no way.
No.
I don't think in this league now you can win anything unless you're lucky like Leicester and everything goes your way. So when people start saying about Leicester and that's their example, I'm sorry, but so everybody was shit that year. Everybody was shit. And they, you know, they were good, but that was the lowest point total win of a champions, I think. It was like this season they would have finished like third or fourth, I think, something like that. But it's just stupid. Yeah, I'm unsure, but because of Klopp, you've got to just give him a bit more of a chance. So, I actually think that I will be quite negative if we don't get the right players by the end of this window, because there's some gaping holes, which should have been filled week one of the window. Fuck halfway through. Fuck that. If other clubs can do it, we should be able to as well, but I get it. You know, we're always trying to get the right deal, this and that, and we've got to go through these processes, but sometimes it's just got to be what you want. Here you go, have it, you know? we just aren't flush, so, yeah, Nin, it just, I do have an understanding side. I'm fighting myself at times against them, but I need to be convinced by FSG. I'm going towards the negative side, the dark side, unfortunately.
Okay, that's interesting. But like, for me personally, I mean, I know where you're coming from. You know, the fact that, you know, having a manager that has it all isn't enough. You need to aid him. But it seems like Klopp has identified these players. We have put in bids. We even tried even bidding for Mbappe, even though we knew we were never going to get him.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't mind that, though. But if the club that you're going to bid against, right? Firstly, you start tapping the player up. So whoever's suggested doing shit like that and via text and all this, we don't know the real stuff. Let's not even contemplate what's going on.
No.
Okay. So in fact, we've been cleared about that stuff with Southampton. The Premier League aren't doing anything. So fuck that. Anyway, but whatever's happened is we've had to say sorry. And that means we've had to back off. So something's gone wrong, right? There's something wrong in a process somewhere at a club. There's more tapping up stuff coming out today with the youth players in the news. How we faked a document or something. It's on one of the. It was in one of the WhatsApp groups just today. I don't know which site printed it.
I think it was the Telegraph.
The Telegraph. So yeah. Again, that's they're not going to print bullshit. You know, it's not like the Mirror or something. Sorry if anybody writes for the Mirror, but that's listening. But yeah, stuff like that, falsifying a document. Who the fuck's doing that at the club? Like, there's something wrong. You know, there's something going wrong. All these things should be tied down. Professional. It just doesn't seem, there seems something weird going on and doesn't seem right to me. So I think things maybe, you know, the side that's at IDK, I don't know anything. Everything seems slow and I don't know how things work. I don't know the insides, outsides, but everything seems slow, slower in comparison to other clubs maybe. So then I just think things can be better. 100% could be better.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. It's not perfect. It really isn't perfect. Trust me. Do you know what I mean? But one thing I did like, and it does give me a little hope, Cam, is the fact that, you know, we spoke about, you know, those players, certainly two players that, you know, have been doing the rounds on LFC Twitter, you know, Keita and Van Dijk. Same happened with Salah, and everyone's like, it's not going to happen. And we persevered. And all right, we might have paid, you know, the record fee. I don't mind that as long as it's not Andy Carroll. But we got it done. And that does give me a little bit of hope. And I want to get your thoughts on FSG and where you sit on them as well. But I do feel like, you know, in the past where they've fucked up and we've always said, oh, they buy cheap players or they've done this or they've done that. You've also got to take into account as well, it's probably the first time ever they're actually working with a modern day quality manager.
Yeah, it's a big difference now, isn't it? I mean, let's start FSG reign from last summer with Klopp, first full transfer window, three really good signings, helped the team progress. I mean, ultimately, the big contention with FSG is signings. It's nothing else. They don't make enough world-class signings. Well, since FSG have come into Liverpool, how many world-class signings have actually been made in the Premier League?
Good point.
By all the clubs. Di Maria, he was world-class. Aguero was potentially about to become world-class when he was signed. Ozil was probably world-class.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Sanchez became world-class at Arsenal, I'd say. Wasn't world-class. De Gea became world-class. Hazard became world-class. But there haven't been a load of world-class signings made. So who are these world-class players that we were supposed to sign without a world-class manager, without Champions League?
We're finishing eighth in the league.
Yeah.
That was our station.
How are we an attractive proposition now, Liverpool Football Club? Players are now in their 20s, early 20s. What is Liverpool's history over the last 25 years? If that's what you're trying to sell it on, we've got a great history. What have they grown up seeing of Liverpool? A Champions League win in 2005. And an FA Cup win in 2006. And a League Cup 3 or 4 years ago. Doesn't work. You can't sell that anymore. So FSG haven't been able to make these world-class signings because we've not been an attractive proposition to do that. We're now getting to the stage where we are becoming an attractive proposition, hence why we're linked with the likes of Virgil van Dijk and Naby Keita. Hence why we're now putting in supposedly big bids for Mbappe. Whatever the fee is, 100 million, 120 million euros, whatever they've offered. There's a reason that's happening now. So FSG, brilliant off the pitch, superb. We're running like a proper outfit now. Yes, they've made a lot of mistakes in the recruitment, granted, but you've got to look at who were we? We're Liverpool Football Club. We love them. We have a different feel for Liverpool Football Club compared to what they do. They don't love Liverpool Football Club the way we do. They love Boston Red Sox. That's their first love.
Yep.
They're going to look at their priority is always going to be Boston Red Sox. If I was a multi-billionaire now and I had bought Liverpool Football Club, my focus would be on Liverpool Football Club. If I then saw an opportunity to go and buy the Boston Red Sox because I was getting it on the cheap, yeah, great. I'll go and buy it. It's a business venture for me. It's a side thing. It's not my priority. I don't care what, you know, whether it should be or shouldn't be, but it's not. I'll have a team there doing that. My priority is Liverpool. I'm going to concentrate on Liverpool. That's my love. That's my passion. That's the same for FSG. Let's not beat around the bush here. That's their focus is Boston Red Sox. They've done really good things with Boston Red Sox. They've won a couple of leagues or whatever it's called there. Will it happen with Liverpool now? The signs this year, potentially we're going in the right direction now. Things are happening. Things are moving. We've got a CEO who, I don't know, I'm baffled as to why he suddenly opened up his Twitter account and why he's engaging with fans. Why has he made himself a target in that way? That shows a bit of confidence to me in what they are doing behind the scenes. You've got to look at a positive. I try and look at things in a positive way.
Mm.
So to me, that's a positive. He's engaging with fans. He's a funny guy from what the seem, you know, what it seems. So he's part of FSG now. He's the CEO. So that tells me he's confident. He's ready for the flak, if there is going to be flak. Otherwise, he wouldn't have opened up his Twitter account. I know it's a minor detail in the grand scheme of things, but you know, I will look for these little minor details and turn it into a positive. So I'm still in the same as where we were when we had the Desi. It's all about this window now and getting in better quality players than what we have now. It's all about the signings we make. Every other team in the league at the moment, I say every, forget Everton, but the big teams at the moment have all made one or two signings. We've made two signings as well. There's nobody apart from Everton making a load of signings. Now, Everton made all these signings because they had the Lukaku money coming in. They haven't spent anything. They've just recycled that money. Same as what we did when we sold Suarez. It's no different. Have Everton improved as a team? Probably not. We will buy the quality now. We're targeting quality. That's a good thing. So FSG, Gags is right. They are making us go towards the dark side because it feels like nothing's happening. But transfer deals, they're not straightforward. They're complex things. They do take time. We've been caught out because we fucked up massively with Van Dijk. But the Van Dijk links haven't gone away. They've not gone away for a reason, because it's probably still going on in the background. They're trying to get it done. So we've got to wait and see. What else can we do? We can rant and rave and we can fume about it, but what's it actually going to achieve? All we're going to end up doing is going doolally in our own minds, aren't we?
Good point about the CEO, though, being confident and stuff. I think it's funny as well, but I've seen loads of people on Twitter just comment that it's a bit too much, you know, and it's just you're going to be in a hiding to nothing, really, in the end.
Well, he is, isn't he? Exactly that.
Yeah. It's his humour, though, right? So, again, and also, it's his personal account. I know he's the CEO, but surely he should be allowed to have an opinion and also allowed to interact.
Be human.
Yeah, yeah, you know, human. I think human for once thing. We've got a human. Yeah, we've got someone who's a bit human on running the club.
I'm sorry, he compared someone's kid to Martin Skrtel. The guy's a legend. That
it's funny. It is funny, but you know, some people are saying it's too much. Like, how much, you know, is it going to be cringy or whatever? But I suppose everybody's different. Everybody looks at it in a different way. Some people want to see, you know, someone behind the scenes at the club that you never or don't sometimes get to hear from or see do stuff or interact. And he's trying. And I think you've got to praise that.
You've got to
praise that. But the problem, what he's doing is he's opening himself up. People aren't going to go after John Henry anymore. They're going to start going after him instead. Did you get what I mean?
Yeah, he's a new fall guy. But guys, I think, you know, like your concerns about FSG, you know, have been absolutely valid. You know, to me, I don't look at it and think, oh my God, that's really strange. Or, oh, I think you're being over the top now. You're being a tad dramatic. You've made absolutely valid points. And I think a lot of people share those thoughts. I mean, I'll just give an example. I remember when we got the Salah deal done. And there was somebody who I will keep nameless, was just bashing them, oh, they just don't spend big and all this. And I'm like, I'm just pretty sure we've just bought a player. Like, today is not the day to whinge at them.
I mean, all right, put it this way. In today's market of inflated transfer fees, and they are super inflated, does a transfer fee actually really mean as much as what it used to? As long as the player is better than what you've got. What does the fee actually... Does a huge fee guarantee you're going to get a brilliant player?
No.
There you go, then. Why don't we just have a little bit of faith in who Klopp wants to sign? If Klopp identifies a player and he feels that is the player, we have to have a bit of belief in Klopp because he has progressed us as a team. And he's done that with one transfer window where he's actually bought. He's taken us from eighth or whatever we finished the season before to fourth. We got fourth by the skin of our teeth, but we got fourth. That was the minimum requirement last season. And he achieved it. And he made mistakes last season. Let's not say he didn't. He made a lot of mistakes because we should have comfortably been second or third.
Yeah.
Comfortably. So he made mistakes. The backroom staff made mistakes in allowing Klopp to make those mistakes. They're all guilty on that. So you've got to have a bit of belief in that. The players, three players stood out last season. We know who those three players are. We've got to think Salah's going to be, he's an excellent addition. Solanke, he's just going to be under 23. He's on the bench for me. So a nice option to have come off the bench. He'll be pushing Origi on. He'll be pushing Sturridge on. Ings will be going out on loan. We've got a lot of positives as well to look at this season. That one signing of Salah, I don't know who said it on the previous pod, but it's like having two signings in one because it means Phil can now go back into midfield and he can still play in a further advanced position when need be. So one signing is a great positive. And the mood on social media, 99.9%, aside from the nameless one then, how great was that mood when we did make that signing? We were buzzing. The whole fan base was. One signing. And you're telling me in the next 6 weeks, we're not going to make another signing? I, for one, don't believe that at all. And I'm not going to say what I'll do if we don't, because that's just ridiculous. But I'll put my tight red trousers on again or something. So,
he'll have a squeal. He'll squeal very, very high pitched squeal with his tight pants.
August the 12th.
Yeah. August the 12th. Oh God.
You know what? I'll dress to match and I'll wear my leather trousers that'll make Cam Brent blush.
Redder than my trousers.
No, they're quite interesting.
No, I'll blush redder than my trousers, sorry.
Yeah, no, guys, I think you've made some really valid points and I kind of just wanted to bring up FSG because obviously there's been, you know, guys, you'll know this, there's been a whole load of articles about it on the site. loads of people sort of sharing their views and also discussing the fan base that, you know, everyone just keep their cool and stuff. So I feel like it is still, I think FSG will always be a topical conversation, no matter what, where we are in the season.
Yeah, always. Especially transfer windows.
It's not like there's anybody else on the horizon knocking on the door saying we want to buy Liverpool Football Club. What's happened to the Chinese? They've disappeared off the scene completely. Were they guaranteed to pump billions in? No. We don't know. Sometimes better the devil you know, isn't it?
I'm a firm believer in that, you know. I'm a massive believer in that.
Yeah, well, that's my take on FSG. They've got their faults. We know that. You know, they haven't spent in a transfer window now for four windows, effectively. I mean, they're finally, since Klopp has been in with the Salah signing, they're on a positive net spend. But, yeah, we want to see them pump more money into the club in with signings. But the signings have to be the right signings. Let's just not throw money willy-nilly at players and end up with the likes of Stuart Downing, Charlie Adam, Andy Carroll.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah. And those were FSG signings. But, you know, they don't spend money. But when they do, I think they signed Downing, didn't they?
Yes, they did. It was a Kenny Dalglish. He got a big, massive pot of money and he just blew it on English, British players.
And where did that get us?
We didn't have a bad defence. They did try to apply money ball in some ways or try and get some kind of stats going. And
they did.
In theory, it was, you know, crosses and obviously we had Carroll, so someone to head him in and stuff. It didn't work out, but...
Well, Carroll was never on the pitch.
Yeah.
That's why Downing never had any assists.
Downing did okay, you know.
Yeah. Downing was putting the crosses in. If nobody was putting it in the back of the net, was that his fault?
Exactly. I think that's where we started deciding that the assist isn't his fault. And like, there's a big one. Oh, his first assist came after, like, I don't know, X months or maybe a year or something like that. And it's like,
a Peter Crouch moment. Yeah.
We were just like, you know what? It's not that now I think everybody knows assists are, you know, overrated.
Very subjective.
All right, guys. We're going to end this, but before you go, I want your best and worst FSC signing.
Oh God.
Best is easy.
Suarez.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too easy.
Worst, Charlie Adam.
Oh, God, worst. Balotelli.
Ooh.
Balotelli tried.
Yeah, but it didn't work, though, did it? Well, actually, Andy Carroll's got to be the worst one in terms of value. 35 million.
Yeah.
Record signing. And what did we get?
Wait a minute. No, I've got a worse one.
We got Dudley Bishop.
I've got a worse. I'm not sure. What about Konchesky and Poulsen?
No, they were before. Was that before? That was Hodgson trying to kill us all.
Yeah, that was Hodgson.
They sacked him, didn't they?
That was.
Hey, look, they did something good. They sacked Hodgson. Yes!
I don't remember the Hodgson period. You know, like you...
What the fuck?
Delete certain things out of your mind. I just deleted the whole of the Hodgson era.
Mate, you can't forget that. It was one of the
worst. Remember being the angriest little person in the world.
We were the laughing stock, but, you know, we're out of that now, thankfully.
Yeah.
So, a little bit of kudos to FSG there. Not too much.
Okay, guys. I think that pretty much wraps up the FSG talk. Any final thoughts from you guys? Anything you'd like to share, Gags?
No, nothing really. Just keep listening to all the pods and reading all the articles, and don't get drawn in by people that say there's agendas. There's not. There's. I'm gonna have to create the agenda index T-shirt. I'm gonna have to do it. I'm just gonna have to have agenda index as a logo. So, yeah, we're gonna do that as well. But we allow people to express themselves as they wish, and we don't stop people from saying what they want as long as it's not racist and stuff like that. So we do really try and allow people to express their opinions. So it's weird how, you know, these agenda things come about. But anyway, that's it. Just go listen to everything. Go read everything. A lot of people working hard. So we appreciate the support.
Nice, nice, nice. Is that a plug as well then?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's two in one. Cam, what about yourself? Any last thoughts and anything you'd like to plug?
Thoughts wise, I think I've pretty much said what I wanted to say. Plug wise, non-LFC, definitely go and listen to On the Box. There's some superb content on there at the moment. Really, really good stuff from Gags and Joey and Harinder and the rest of the team there. Again, all things AI. Please carry on listening, people, and reading, and let us know your thoughts. That's the main thing. We're doing it for all of you. We're not doing it for ourselves, I can assure you.
Indeed, indeed. Yep, do check out all the content, LFC and non-LFC. It's all great. Well worth a listen. And also some great articles up there as well, as Gags discussed. You know, some great articles, so do check them out as well. And of course, if you're too busy to read, why not listen to the smooth tones of Trev Downey as he narrates them to you? There's a thought for you. On my part, as soon as the season kicks off, obviously I'll be back with my Nina Kaiser show. I'll be a bit more consistent. I'm going to try doing a fair few more videos now. I've just been so, so busy. Home, family, life just is getting in the way at the moment. But hopefully next week I should have a video out. So badger me on that one and I will produce something. So a huge thank you to Gags and Cam for being brilliant guests.
Thank you. And
thank you.
Yeah, wait a minute. Long pause, no answer.
Hey, you're lucky we didn't diss you at the end. Start. We didn't end the way we started.
You're just terrible. I can't even intro you properly. Anyway, guys, a huge thank you to these two. A huge thank you for you, listeners. Wouldn't be a show without you. And till next time, up the Reds and don't lose your shit. Podcast Network.